I am so happy that you are here. Yes, I am starting off by saying that I am so happy that you are here, ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls. Listen, I'm standing. I got to crack my back a little bit, but it's okay. Hi, if you don't know who I am, my name is Jonathan Garano, and welcome to another episode of Spill the Pho. That's right, P-H-O, Spill the Pho, get it right. Go to a Vietnamese restaurant if it's not COVID right now, or wear a mask, order pho to go, have some chicken, have some broth, put some mint and jalapenos and eat that shit up. It's going to be fucking delicious. Anyway, where was I going with this? Anyway, hi. This podcast is basically where for the first few minutes I talk and I rant and I go. Whatever comes to the top of my mind, I just say it. It just goes. It just says, goes inside your ears, and hopefully it comes back to you and hits you in a different way. And then afterwards, after the whole intro of myself, then I bring someone on in the creative world, and then we just talk and we go about their life in the creative industry. And then also, since it's Spill the Pho, hopefully we get them to spill some more shit in their lives besides that creative shit. You know what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my beautiful people? Hi. Anyway, before we get started, before I introduce this guest right now, dude, I am an extroverted soul. And as you know, guys, I'm fucking losing my mind right now. Okay? I absolutely miss physical people around me. I feel like my mind is going into mush. I get energy as an extrovert from people. And so every day I wake up and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be really happy. I ride my bike and then I go and I edit because that's what I do for a living, or I film a fucking commercial by myself. And you know how some people, when they do a lot of work or they read a lot, they get smarter? Well, because of who I am, because I'm an extroverted soul, the more that I'm alone, the stupider and the more depressed I become. I don't know about you, but that's what happens to me. So this is what I did. So on Friday, I woke up because I was thinking about so many different things in my life. And I woke up in tears. Tears streaming down my face in the afternoon. I got like creases all over my head. My bag started protruding. It didn't look like bags under my eyes. It looked like luggage, okay? And I was just... And I wasn't going on a trip. I literally was just standing there breaking down and crying. And I started to record myself because I wanted to make sure that I still looked kind of cute while I was, you know, crying. And so that way I could laugh. And then I had these, like, you know, because I suffered through manic depression and PTSD, fucking like suicidal thoughts. These goddamn suicidal thoughts. And so what did I do? Well, jumped on my bike. And I started texting a bunch of people, and I have this massive vice. And one of the biggest vices that I have is gambling, specifically going to a poker game. And I knew, because I'm an extrovert, I was like, okay, where can I go where I can be social, where at late at night at like 11 p.m., 12 a.m., there's going to be dedicated people there no matter the situation. And even though they want my money, at least I know I'll have company. And so I text this dude, who I haven't talked to in like years, and he was an old poker connect, and he just happened to be visiting LA, and he invited me to one of those underground poker places in Los Angeles, California. So I walk in, you know, I get the address, it's kind of shady, it's a house, I walk in, there's a security guard with a gun and a shotgun, obviously, typical house game. He takes out a temperature thermometer and he like does my head. Boom, I get in. I'm safe. I'm okay. I sit down, and this is why I realize why I don't like gambling, why I had a massive vice. Like, I haven't gambled in a year or so, and here I was surrounded by the most evil vice. I sit down, I get these chips. I'm surrounded by all these older gentlemen that have egos, and they could be part of like the Armenian mafia or all these other strange little things and bookies. And of course, surrounding me are the women, you know, women dressed in clad clothes. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, this is kind of dangerous. Am I going to get COVID? This is too much. But yet for some odd reason, I'm surrounded by people. And in that moment, I feel so good. Like, for those first few minutes, I feel fantastic. But it's so strange. I don't know if you get this, but my life, even though it has like a roller coaster of ups and downs, in a weird way, my business and everything is kind of going like on an uptick. And I don't know what's wrong with me, but because of this weird depression that I have or any situation, I like to just like this weird sense of self-sabotage, this weird sense to destroy myself, the weird sense to find an excuse to destroy myself. And so there I am sitting at the poker table, winning a few hands, and then for some odd reason, like in a matter of minutes, all gone. Not just once, not just twice, three times. Three buy-ins. In a weird, strange way, it's like I wanted this. I wanted to lose. I knew it was going to happen, and it's so toxic. It's like getting reborn. And so then I go home at 5 a.m. in the morning. And of course, it's that whole the reborn situation where I'm like, this is what I'm going to do to feel good. And so the next morning at 8 a.m., I go to Staples and I buy all these like fucking massive white pieces of paper, cardboard pieces of paper. And I write words on it like, people love you. Success is small. Consistent amounts of change. You are a genius. Breathe. Ha 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 ha, just says one. You will succeed. Another one says, you're sexy. When I open my door, that's the first thing I see. It says, I love you. There's another one that says, you will age gracefully. Yes, you will. He 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 he. And I have a bad memory, so I forget that it's there. And then I open the door and I say, you're sexy. And I say, I love you. And I'm like, God damn it, Jonathan, you son of a bitch. And I laugh. And so I feel a lot happier. You know, because affirmations is one of my love languages. But guys, I don't know about you with this whole COVID thing and everything, but I'm lost. I'm a little lost. I'm a little fucking confused. I'm trying to find who I am. And I guess the only way to do that is not to sulk, I guess, is just to move. That's the sad thing about life. Right? Sometimes you just want to cry and break down, but no one's really going to be there for you unless you cry with purpose. So anyway, I don't know how we got here, but that's the beauty of Spill the Pho. I just go and I just go and I just go. Today we have a fantastic guest. He gives a little fuzzy wuzzy inside my heart. Fuzzy wuzzy? Fuzzy wuzzy was a bear? Is that what it is? But yeah, he gives me a little fuzzy wuzzy inside my heart. His name is Alan Chicken Chow. Believe it or not, Chow means fried, and since his middle name is Chicken, right, it's Chicken Chow, but because it's Chinese, you take the last name, you put it before the middle name, so his real name is Alan Fried Chicken. Boom! You're learning facts! You're learning facts! Who is he? He has 2 million TikTok followers, and yes, he has millions of views, like 40 million views on one of his TikToks, and he was the head writer of Smile Squad, which is this Facebook, brand that has over, 10 million followers and one of the fastest growing sketch comedy online digital teams in the fucking world. That's who Alan Chicken Chow is. He's just the master. And I absolutely adore him. He's a really good friend of mine and he inspires me. And we talk about not only about TikTok, but of course, what it means to be Asian American or just Asian in general. When it comes to, this world, this digital content world. And what's kind of cool is we have some controversial shit that I talk about. But, whatever. I love y'all. Get ready for the episode. I'm excited. And here we go. By the way, I have a question, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, is everyone that somehow becomes a famous influencer / TikToker that's a dude is supposed to have like an earring like that?
Oh, I don't know, because, like, I got it because of K-pop, because a lot of the K-pop, like, idols that I like have it, but a lot of, like, creators, especially TikTokers, have it, and a lot of them have colored hair, so I feel like it's a mix. I feel like it's a mix of, I have it because of my K-pop, because of K-pop, but a lot of them, so... Answer is no for me. That's not the reason why.
Do you have the ripped jeans? Do you have the ripped jeans and stuff too, and like the ripped shirts?
I have like the e-boy pants, but they were a gift from someone. So yeah, I kind of have like a TikTok like outfit.
Wait, when you mean like a gift for someone, do you really mean like you bought the gift for yourself?
No, someone got it for me. Someone got it for me. It was Markion, actually.
How cute! I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question. Now that you're like, so I know every time we talk and every time we do these like podcasting things, you're always in a different spectrum of your life. And don't worry, I'm going to put them all together because I think it's rather fun. But now that you no longer work for a creator, how do you feel?
Oh, I feel good. I feel super productive and motivated all the time, because I feel like all the work that I do now is for something that I enjoy and I get to see the product of for myself. It is fun. It was great to work with Markion, but I felt like the product didn't end up being mine. So there was less motivation. It was harder to get myself to do it because I knew that I didn't own the final product. For the stuff that I do now, it's an extension of me, so it's fun.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, so when I work for other people, right? Sometimes I use that as an excuse to the reason why I'm not doing my own thing.
Yep.
Did you feel like you were doing the same thing? Like, oh my God. Like, they're like, Alan, why aren't you doing anything? And then you kind of like, oh, because I'm doing...
Yes. Yeah, totally. I actually, whenever I left Small Squad, I was in a place where I could have continued. The work wasn't too much. I really liked everyone there, and I was learning a lot still. But the issue was with my own self. I would, for example, in a week, just not release or make any videos because I'd be like, oh, I'm busy with like Small Squad stuff this week. So I'm just like not going to make a video because I don't need to. I have this other thing where I'm making money, so I don't need to make a video. Now, if I go a week without releasing a video, I'm like not doing anything, you know? So I literally have to release videos or do something productive for my own career or else I'm not doing anything. So yeah.
You're not making any money. In acts of desperation, the only thing that you can do in this case is like there's no fallback plan.
Yeah, totally. And it opens up your mind space to think more creatively about things, because even if you have like a to-do that's not too, it wasn't like really difficult. It wasn't like super strenuous, but it was still like something that took up a lot of my mind. I feel like after emptying that part out, I'm able to think more broadly about other things I want to do.
Wait, so I have a question. Like, now that you kind of like work on your own, do you put like a content schedule together, like a calendar? Like, okay, Alan, today this is the brainstorming day. Today is this day. Today is like sleep day. Like, do you do that?
Yes.
It's like a bitch sometimes, right?
It's such a bitch. And I got that from talking to you. When I first like did full time, you were like, this is my advice. You have to put together a schedule. And today is like my brainstorming day. So I was writing on, you know, so like, yeah, I definitely have that and a content schedule of like, when I need to release certain videos so that those are deadlines for myself as well. Yeah.
So if I'm like, okay, so I watch your videos and you're fucking growing exponentially and we're going to be talking about like the fucking goddamn hockey stick growth, which you can like, I predicted that your hockey stick growth. I was talking to Mia about this. You know, the hockey stick growth where it's like the dipping point, and then right at the very beginning, you just fucking explode. I told Mia like in January that she's going to have her hockey stick growth like end of February, March, and she did. I predicted with Mia that your hockey stick growth would be like August, and then boom.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for that. I mean, hopefully you kind of connect that to like your YouTube channel and you get there. That's what I mean about hockey stick growth. Like if you develop another social media, I think that would be really cool. But
yeah,
I think always the biggest question is what are the first freaking things you think about before making a TikTok? Because everyone's like, oh, Gary Vee, fucking Samir, Colin and Samir or whatever. Just put as much content as you can on TikTok. But like, if I do 3-4 times a day, then what the fuck happens? So what is your kind of strategy when you're making your TikTok from like start to finish? And then, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I start out with, I'm idea first, because I come from like script writing and traditional media. I write scripts out for everything that I do, even if it's like a very simple, like 10-second idea, I always script write something first to reference. So I start out with that. I have a list of brainstormed ideas that I think of throughout the day, and I'll take pieces of them and build out exactly how I want them to look, with a shot list, with all the beats, with all the dialogue if it does have it, etc. So that's the first step. And then the second step, I'll like film it, of course. That's always a fun part. And then the last step, right, edit it and post it. And in terms of like creatively, I feel like I try to go for a feeling first. Like I want, so like for this video, I want them to feel nostalgic and I want them to laugh. So those are like the two feelings I want them to feel. And so that's like what I aim for when I'm going for a video. That's like,
but like, how do you pick your niche? Like, how do you know that this is the thing that you want to talk about? Because there's two different camps. It's like, hey, this is the thing that I want to like talk about. This is the thing that I want to do. This is my passion. In this case, yours, K-pop. And then the other passion is like, okay, these are the trends. This is what's going viral. I want to like follow that. So how do you figure out like, okay, this is the niche. Like, how did you know that you wanted to go to K-pop as your niche? But then also, how do you follow kind of the TikTok algorithm, I guess you could say, to make sure that it fucking happens?
Yeah, that's a really good like point to bring up about the balance of those. So for the K-pop niche, it didn't feel like a niche to me when I first started it, because I just like really like K-pop and I really like anime and I really like just like these random things that people call niches. And I'm like, these are just like things that I grew up on. So you guys are the freaking
every day.
Yeah, this is my everyday. It's not freaking me. So like for me, it wasn't a niche. I actually, because the For You page is so like tailored to you, I actually was like, that's so weird. Like everyone on TikTok is obsessed with K-pop. Like why is everyone obsessed with K-pop? So I was like, oh, of course I have to do this because my comments keep saying stuff about K-pop. All the videos about K-pop. I guess TikTok just happens to be super K-pop heavy. Little did I know, of course, that's just the videos that were shown to me. So it just happened to be an extension of like what I personally liked. And I listened a lot to the comments and people's messages on live stream. I always ask like, what kind of videos do you want me to do? And I'll listen to what they have to say and take it. And sometimes I'll do exactly what they say. Sometimes I'll like make my own spin off of a suggestion. So that's that side. That's the niche. Really building something that I personally, I love and I enjoy. It makes me laugh. Anime, K-pop, like those types of things. And also, I know it resonates with my audience because a lot of them, their accounts are like anime usernames or things like that.
So. And they're like Asian. You're like, oh my God, I hit the right spot.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like when you first started, you only had like zero followers. So how did you know that was like the way to go?
Yeah.
Like how did you get your first comment? Like I just posted, I have two videos on my TikTok, just two. Mm-hmm. And one of them is like 300,000 and the other one has like only 184 views. So I have like one comment, but like, I don't like the one comment is just like good stuff. So I was like, okay, how does this help me? So yeah. how does yours, like, how'd you know?
Yeah.
You just get lucky or?
I think it comes with trying things out. And whenever you do have a video that it just has to be slightly better than the rest of yours, you know, like has some type of resonating, you have one that is like viral, so like that works for you, just building upon that. So my first two that kind of did pretty well, one was anime related, one was K-pop related. So it's like, okay, these are two niches, but then also I would do just general comedy and that also would do well. So it was definitely a process. It took until honestly just a few months ago for me to realize, oh, like I'm a comedy creator. Like I didn't even realize with my own self, like, oh yeah, I need to make them laugh for every video. So it definitely is like trial, learning from error, and then seeing what works and building upon that.
So then you go from there. So you have like one or two comments, by the way, months, like Mia Finney, she said she started in fucking October of 2018 when it comes to TikTok. So it takes time.
Yeah.
But what I really love about you and like Mia and other TikTokers that are successful, they're not following like the Gary V or other content creators of like putting, I mean, the advice of those people that are like, yo, put 3-4 videos a day. It's like, that doesn't make, like, that's, what the hell? Like, you post like what, twice a week?
Yeah, I post about 3 times a week.
Yeah, what do you think about the whole like post 2 to 3 times a day?
I mean, if I was able to create that many good videos, of course I would try to do that. But like, I feel like if you're making 2 to 3 videos a day, the chances are those videos aren't that good. You know, like unless you're a dancer and you can make like 3 dance TikToks a day because you can learn 3 different types of choreography, then go ahead. But I really doubt that all 3 of those are going to be the highest quality possible. So some people are about quantity on TikTok. Some people are about quality. I'm more about quality while still in trying to ensure that I create as much as possible. But yeah, like that's super hard. I don't think you should just take his advice and be like, oh, let me just post 2 to 3 like stupid videos a day. You're not going to go anywhere if you do that, you know?
I mean, they're not stupid. I mean, sometimes my For You page, like, you know how your For You page is like all Korean and stuff? Mine's all like dancers and usually just women. And I'm just like, why? Like, but women, BLM, Black Lives Matters, right. And then, of course, like, some psychology things. But sometimes I'm looking at these dancers, and I'm like, how the fuck did this go viral? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching it. I'm like, okay, maybe it's just because how beautiful they are. So anyway,
yeah.
let's go to the second part. So we talked about kind of like finding your niche. How do you go, okay, I have what I love. I have what I love. It's so awesome. It's so cool. This is what I love. Anime, K-pop. How do I go now? How do I make this viral? How do I follow the trend? How do I make sure that it follows kind of like the algorithm of, you know, TikTok?
Yeah, so I think for TikTok in specific, there are a few key technical things that I always try to hit. So for me, within the first 3 seconds of the video, there has to be a high emotion, a dynamic visual, or a laugh. For me, since I'm a comedy creator, I usually go for the first 3 seconds. They either have to laugh already, or they have to know what the setup of a punchline is going to be, so they wait for it till the end. So that's like one thing, just making sure that your video,
they know the setup
or it's highly engaging right off the bat. That's why trends work really well, because they'll hear the music and so they'll know that it's going to be some joke that they're waiting for. They want to see your take on it. And so that's like one thing. The second thing is like, no, even though I have a niche, I still try to make it relatable to all, like, to as many people as possible. So one of my most viral videos is called Anime Reaction Sounds Be Like. The niche-y part of it was that it was a parody of this anime called Your Name that maybe not many people have seen. But the part that most people understand is, like, how animes always go, reaction sounds. And so that's the part that I feel like I want to be accessible to most people. So it's, yeah, definitely about finding that balance between how do you make most people understand what this video is going to be right off the bat, and also how do you make sure that's still representation of yourself.
Wait, how many views does that video have?
I think on TikTok it has like 6 million, which is weird because it's the video that I'm most like recognized for. I think because it was reposted, like I'm always getting tagged like every day somewhere that it's being reposted. So
like on Instagram. Well, I thought you had like a video that has like 30 million views or something.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. 46 million.
46 million. But that isn't the anime one. That's the girlfriend one, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when your girlfriend wears too much makeup. So that one was.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Oh, thanks.
How'd you get that idea?
Yeah, for that idea, that one also came with like high impact visual first, because I just thought back to my middle school childhood where I had a friend who wore a lot of makeup, and whenever she would hug me, like her face would come off on my shirt. And like, that's so funny. No one has ever really done that before. So like, and that face is so relatable. So I was like, okay, so that's one really relatable aspect. And then I found this pattern of video with like this dramatic Rick and Morty music from another creator, but he didn't really execute it in the best way possible. So it's like, I know how to execute on that comedy format with my relatable idea. And so that's how
structure
that came together. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think what I love about you is that you basically are telling me that your whole thing is, yes, I have K-pop, but how do I make it relatable to everybody else? And then it seems that you're always maybe on TikTok every single day looking for things that you can put into your own brand and say, I can make this better. Is that what I'm hearing right now?
Yeah, totally. I also look at international creators a ton because chances are their trend hasn't hit America yet. So there's one creator, his name is Ming Wei Rocks. He's from Singapore. And there's one called Bungman Opa from Korea.
Okay.
They both have like these super funny videos that nobody in America really knows, but there's this format that's really easily taken from them. Not taken, but like there's a style to their video.
You can like emulate the style.
Yeah, totally. So I am always trying to force my For You page to show me international creators because TikTok is so international that
it's like 2 billion people.
Yeah. And there's the highest amount of users is not even in America, it's in India. So like how can you get those views into your video too? So yeah,
how do you do that? How do you go in your FYP and go, I want to go outside of America? Do you have like a VNC on your fucking phone?
No, I try to tell it, but every time there's an international video, I watch it and I like it and I favorite it so that it can give me more of those international people.
That's what I do to get my FYP to be what it is.
Yeah.
Every time I'll get something different. I'm like, no, I want to see these dancers or whatever. So I'll swipe and then I'll wait. I'll double click. I'll go on their profile. Click. Favorite. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm back to either the psychology BLM or the dancers.
I hit not interested when the thirst traps come up because I'm like, stop showing me this. But it knows that I still watch it through.
Those thirst traps, dude. I have to be very, 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 very careful because I'm just like, how do they do it? And then I have to like, I'm like, okay, Jonathan, like I'm going to be on TikTok for a while. So let's move on.
Yeah.
But no, that's really cool. That's a really good secret that I didn't even think about doing when it comes to everything. Wait, so what makes you go TikTok is, okay, so obviously right now you are, you know, a creator and creators need to make fucking money. And I checked, you don't have a Patreon. You don't have a YouTube channel. Are you okay financially, dude? Are you okay? Do you need to borrow some money?
No, I'm doing great. I'm really grateful that there's a lot of brand deals going on TikTok right now because it's like TikTok is like so cool right now. All the brands are hopping on it. I have two great reps who are a manager and agent who are helping me out with things. And the team at TikTok actually sends a ton of deals because a lot of deals go through TikTok. Actually, most of them do because they have branded hashtags on the app. And since I'm an ambassador and I'm, you know, really close with my managers at TikTok, they send a ton of brand deals to me.
How do you become an ambassador? Do they just, is it random? Do you apply or?
I don't know the process for everyone, but I could just speak on my own experience. So I had that makeup video come out in December and it was going really viral. I got verified. And at the same time, they just happened to be recruiting for TikTok ambassadors. So my TikTok growth strategist, his name is Stefan, he was like, hey, like, oh, your video is so funny. Also, you should try applying for this. It's like, cool. And I was like, okay, cool. At the time, I was taking like an acting class at Leslie Kahn. And I was like, oh my God, no! Hey! Oh my gosh. And it was, I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much. The acting class was so intense. I had auditions. And I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing right now. And I made like a really, like this video for TikTok ambassador, like video interview. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, like, let's just do this. Even up until I started the program, I had no idea like what I was doing. And then I got there and our faces were on the wall of the TikTok video. And I was like, oh, maybe like this is actually
this is cool. Something.
Yeah. So that was my experience. It was a big process though. Just like a job interview, like three different stages of interviews.
That's awesome. Wait, you're part of the TikTok creator marketplace, I'm guessing.
Yes, yeah, I am. I've been.
Don't worry, it's public now information.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When I interviewed someone at TikTok, they're like, you can't tell anybody, and I was like waiting, and then now I can like publish the video. But
yeah,
there's also isn't there also the Shopify button? Are you gonna do that, like sell merch through that?
I have that enabled, but you know, I only want to sell things that my fans would really like. And
like earrings and hair products.
Yeah, that's so true.
That'd be really cool. That'd be really cool. Like just a bunch of like different K-pop earrings.
Yeah.
Or like accessories like rings. Holy crap. Yeah, fuck merch, dude.
Yeah.
Do that.
Oh, that's
That'd be so dope.
Wait, that's so true.
Oh my God. That'd be so cool.
And people have commented like, oh, you're wearing, I was wearing that earring. So that would be good. I feel like
that'd be really good.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay.
Well, and then you know it could also go into, I'm thinking? Face products.
Oh, like
Korean like mask or like when you get enough money to do like an investment with that. Like, hey guys, this is how I get my skin so Korean like or so fresh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I really like the earrings idea.
I do too.
Think about that. Yeah. Think about that. Wait, so dude, this is like, if that's the case, what's your biggest brand deal so far? Like $5,400? Say $7,000. I know that Mia got like $12,000 for one of her brand deals recently.
Oh, really? I'm doing one right now that's $6,000.
That's good.
I just sent this today. So it's good. They pay like, because it's so new, I don't know if there's like necessarily a standard, but like what I think it's been good enough for me, like a monthly thing. They're rising as the numbers are rising as my followers are rising. And each time we do a brand deal, it increases. So it's been good. Some of them are really easy too. So it's cool.
That's good. Okay. So I'm on the brand side sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I know this is like a little, first off, congratulations on you. Remember, for me, it's like how much you can negotiate. It's not really like how much you think you're worth. It's like how much you're willing to push. Yeah. Right. Especially if it's like a brand with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But sometimes on the brand side, I look at a creator and I'm like, okay, yes, this creator has 2 million followers, but their average views are literally like 30,000 or 40,000. I'm like, ugh, this is gross. But what I'm noticing is that because TikTok has this like connection with sometimes some TikTok ambassadors, now this may be a little controversial, every time this creator does a brand deal, you could tell that TikTok like pushes it out there. And that's why they get views. Do you think, like, what do you think about that? I know that's a little, like, weird opinion, but...
Yeah, so the reason why that happens is because, so TikTok owns the branded hashtag that's on the Explore page. And so, like, whenever a brand deal comes up, say, hashtag bottle it up challenge. So, like, right. they'll get five creators and they'll all submit their videos. The brand gets to pick the order in which it shows up on the hashtag. The first one on the hashtag I've always seen has like 50 million plus views because people are just scrolling and they just watch the first one. And that just happens to a lot of times be the ambassadors, you know, like people that I know in particular. And so their brand deal gets a ton of views. So yeah.
Yeah, like, but the engagement is, I mean, this is just coming from the brand side because I'm always thinking about the brand side. I'm not naming any names, but you already know what I'm talking about, who I'm talking about. There's like three of them in my head. And I'm just looking and I'm thinking about the brand side of TikTok. Is that a little controversial, do you think? Or do you think that's like a good practice? Because with YouTube, so TikTok is all about like meritocracy. It's a democratic process when there is no brand deals. Mm. But sometimes I feel it's like, wow, they are controlling kind of the culture of what TikTok is supposed to look like. Mm. And have you seen an influx in that or?
Yeah, sure. I think in I'm trying to think about this.
Yeah, I know. It's a little dicey. I totally understand.
Yeah, I think.
It's a weird theory, but I'm not trying to be like a conspiracy theorist or anything.
Yeah, I think from the company side, because TikTok was acquired from Musical.ly, there's a strong identification with lip sync and dance. And I know that TikTok's goal within the company is to branch out and not be only known as a lip sync and dance app. So that's why the ambassadors represent a bunch of different niches. So for example, there's a family creator, the McFarlanes, Cosette's a fashion creator, mine's K-pop and comedy. Like there's different niches in all these different spots where they want to encourage people to create so that when you think of TikTok, everyone right now still to this day thinks that TikTok is a dance app. When you think TikTok video, you think TikTok dance. I think from the company side, they don't want that association because they want it to be like YouTube where everyone feels like they have something to create on the app, whether it's DIY, whether it's fashion, whether it's K-pop, whether it's just comedy. And so I think that's why a lot of the creators that are chosen for a certain like brand deal represent like different facets of the app, rather than it being like the hype house for every video. Because like they do get the most views, so like why wouldn't you have Tony Lopez for all the branded hashtags? But the thing,
why wouldn't you want Charli D'Amelio? Is that how you say your last name?
Yeah. But yeah, I think they want to show that diversity in terms of the types of videos that are being made, which is great in my opinion, because I support that, because
great too. I'm just thinking, I understand that's great. It's just sometimes I'm just trying to figure out if that is fair, but I don't know how YouTube's algorithm works in the trending page, right? So that could be kind of similar, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's the thing though. So you have to rely a lot on brand deals, basically, or a little Shopify.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like with YouTube, yes, you could do that, but you can make a lot of money from just the ad placements that are automatically generated.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you hope, not YouTube, but like you hope that TikTok will give to creators? Like, what do you see the future of TikTok when it comes to money? Like, yeah. Or is it always going to be brand deals?
My hope is that TikTok introduces a facet to it like IGTV, where you can click into a video that turns into, say, 5 minutes long, and then you can put ad placements on those type of videos. I don't think that it's going to be possible for us to have ad placements on a 15-second video. Like, it would just be, like, ridiculous. Like, I wouldn't want to watch, like, people's TikToks if they had ads in the 7th second. So that I think that that's definitely a huge possibility. I think, like, Disney Plus, like, person joined, and so he is from originals. He's from that aspect of things where it's longer. So I hope that's the future of it.
They just hired someone from Disney Plus to do this?
The new CEO is the guy who started Disney Plus.
Oh shit, there's a new CEO on TikTok?
Yeah.
No, that's so fucking dope.
Yeah.
Okay, so TikTok is looking for long content. Yeah, by the way, the IGTV thing is kind of cool. Like I noticed that whenever time there's like a video over 5 minutes. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, I click on it, and then the ad placement comes up, and I'm like, son of a motherfuckers, here we go.
Yeah.
Money, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
It's great.
Okay, I mean, right now, I'm just trying to grow, you know, my own personal TikTok,
mm-hmm.
because I'm always, like, tired of like, being behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, I can get there.
I'm
just gonna follow your advice. I'll be like, hey, I just gotta look at trends and all that. I love how... I'm now thinking about like my last video. Well, my first video that did really well.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that, yes, I did the punchline right away, so everyone gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for my latest one, there was no, I mean, you saw it because you liked it, but there was like absolutely no punchline at the very beginning. And I want to take this pen and stab my hand because of it.
It's just one video where you keep making them.
Oh, I'm never going to stop, baby boo. Wait, so... I think one of the coolest things about you is that you collaborate with a lot of TikTok people.
Mm.
And I think that like grows, especially that one girl who's like just crushing it on her own TikTok.
Yeah. Amazing.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Is that one secret do you think that you should do to grow?
So when I met Shu, she didn't have a TikTok account. Like she
had, what?
Yeah. Shu didn't have a TikTok whenever we made our first video together. I wouldn't say that I necessarily collaborate with other TikTokers. I just collaborate with really good actors because I come from the acting world, and I know that like if I get just like a random person in the video, yeah, it will be funny. But me and Shu, we're like really funny together. Like no shit.
Yeah.
We're so funny together, and
chemistry is amazing.
Yes, it's great. I love her. We make like, and because we create so often together, I can just say to Shu, okay, can we do part 5 of this video we've done 4 other videos for, awkward moments for girls? We'll finish shooting that within 30 minutes, we're done. Whereas like if I have someone new, I have to explain to them this beat. I just filmed it with my mom actually, awkward moments for moms. I love my mom, obviously, but this is the same with any new person I would film with. I have to explain to them, the beat is gonna drop at this moment, so your face has to turn from smiley to sad at the same moment that you open this water bottle, so that, and it's gonna go black and white right here. it's hard to explain that to new people. Me and Shu just, we just got it right away. So I like that. People think we're dating on that.
Because I know. Like girlfriend.
So, yeah, I love Shu. I want to keep creating videos with her. And yeah, but we grew that together.
How do you split that kind of the monetary stuff with that? Because, like, for example, I see that she has brand deals on her end, too. Mm-hmm. And then you have brand deals on yours. You go, hey, let's split it down the middle. Or it's like, we'll split it differently. Like, if it's on your channel, that's all yours. When it's on my channel, it's all mine. As long as we're always give and take, give and take, give and take.
Yeah. So we basically, whenever we create together, it's always, I make one video, you make one video. Or say, if my video is longer, I'm going to make a video for 1 hour. You're going to make two videos in 1 hour, whatever. We just try to split the time evenly together. And for the brand deals, they just, whatever comes to me, I'll do them. Whatever comes to her, she does them. Like, we just have them on our own. Sometimes if I have one that I'm passing over, I just send it to her. So, like, yeah, that part's separate because our videos, our ideas we come up with on our own. We're really just actors in each other's videos. And so that's the separation there.
Have you ever gotten into an argument with anybody that you've collaborated with? Like, you're like, God damn it, you fucking suck. And it's like, you know what, Alan? Fuck you, you know?
Yeah, I used to collaborate with this one girl. I love her as a friend, but she's not an actress. And she doesn't come from social media world either. She's like a friend from USC. And it was really frustrating, actually. Like, I had so much frustration around creating with her because I felt like, for me, from the beginning, I always wanted to take it seriously. I'm like, this is a video. This is my video. Like, we're doing these shots. But I would go to her house and she would, like, be waking up or something. I don't know. She would take like 30 minutes and she'd bring her dog along. And I'm like, this is like, we're trying to create a video. This is like, we're making a video.
This is business. This is my money, dude.
Yeah, seriously. I'm like, this is my money. What are we? We're like feeding your dog in the middle of the take and like ruining takes because it's barking. Like, I cannot. So I have had, I think that's one new thing that I'm learning as becoming a full-time creator. This is the hardest part for me right now, is having the line between professional and personal. Because you can easily, as a creator, just get your friends in your videos all the time. Or you could just like hire your friends to like, I got my friend to like edit pixel art onto my photo. And then we had a fight about it already. So like,
why?
He was just like, oh, I think it's too much time. Like, this is like more difficult than I thought it would be. And which is fine. He just was like, I don't want to do it anymore. So whatever. It's not.
Were you paying him?
Yeah, I was paying him.
And he said that? Oh, hiring friends is hard.
Yeah, hiring friends is hard. I don't think if he wasn't a friend, he would never say that because we're like really close best friends. So he's just, you know, it's fine. But anyway.
So my suggestion for that, like, as you know, because we're going to be working on a deal when you come back soon. I mean, once, dude, it's been so hard. I figured it out, by the way, where I'm fucking up. But anyway, when you come back, like maybe end of July, August. No, we're finally, long story short, you know, Rise of the Creators, help building a TikTok course. Mm-hmm. And we were looking at our competitors and the price difference. And we're like, okay, maybe this is why. And then also I targeted the wrong audience. Mm. So we're redoing some ads, but I'm really excited about it.
Cool.
So we're going to do a deal soon. But what I like to do is I do work with friends sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I state specifically, I'm like, hey, listen, there's a friend and there's a personal. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to go into business mode. And I tell them, I'm about to go on business mode. So here is an email with a list of expectations, the price point, what I want, and what you'll get. Mm. Now, before we begin, can you actually do this?
Mm.
And because it's like clear in a fucking email, it's that vibe of, okay, this guy means business, right? And so what I've learned is if I do like text messages or it's a phone call, it's still like that mindset. But like when you like specifically do email format with expectations, blah, 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 this is the time, this is the agenda, these are the deadlines. And what's crazy about friends is you have to be even more specific than you were with like a regular other actor or actress.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it puts that mindset. So that's why with you, it's a fucking long email to explain exactly what everything goes down. So that way you like understand. So whenever you're working with a friend, that's like my suggestion.
Yeah, I love that. So, I really love how you did that. That's what I strive to be next time that I work with a friend.
Yeah, deadlines is crazy. But I bet, like, even acting, like, so I work with actors all the time, and sometimes we get a little comfortable, and it's like, oh my god, we could have shot this shot like in mm-hmm. 2 hours.
Yeah.
For some fucking reason, it's like 5 hours. Yeah. How do you deal with that? Do you, like, how are you working on that?
That is, yeah, that's also a huge, like, these are, thank you for bringing this up. These are, like, the biggest parts of this new life that I'm trying to manage. Me, Shu, and another guy, Brandon. Oh, you know Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon Suhu.
Yeah, yeah. They're amazing. I love to shoot with them. I want to always, but we're all also friends. So if I will always set the tone of, I have to leave at 6. I always tell them when I have to leave so that we hustle to get the videos done by that time. If we go over sometimes, that's fine. And I just have to be the bad guy, and I tell them to be the bad guy too. I'm like, hey, like, can you be the AD for this one and get us on schedule? This one day we didn't do that because I was like, it was a Saturday, and I was like, oh, I don't have anything to do later, so we can just lax around. What was could have been a 2 to 3 hour shoot was 7 hours. Like, oh my gosh. And it was, I was like, okay, we can never not have an end deadline again.
What did you do? Eat pizza? What the fuck?
I don't even remember. It was just like a lot. So yeah, that's like definitely something that I'm working on right now.
How do you work on kind of like balancing burnout or like mental health issues with all of this? Because that's always the fucking topic right now, all the time. I like how Mia says she puts a schedule on, but she listens, like, her thing is, she's like, Jonathan, I just listen to my body. When my body says sleep, I sleep. When my body says eat, I eat. You know, like, sweet. How do you, like, what is your method of calm?
Yeah, I have the most, the longest, most complex morning routine that takes 3 hours from the morning I wake up to the first time I respond to any email or text.
Oh, shit, what do you do?
I get up, I journal, and I do a Chinese like thing on Duolingo, and I journal in another journal, then I eat breakfast, and I go work out for 1 hour, and then I come back, and then I shower, and then I do like this hair, stupid hair stuff that I always have to do with my new dyed hair. It takes 3 hours from the moment I wake up to, and I don't allow myself, or I try my best not to, check any social media, reply to any text or any emails for the first 3 hours of waking up. And then at the very end of it, I'll read like Tube Filter, Deadline, and news and stuff. And then I'll be like, okay, it's time to start my day. So that is my sense of like peace for every day I have it. If I didn't have that morning routine, I feel like I would be burnt out already. But I thank God that I do that.
Oh my God, what time do you wake up? Like 7?
Yeah, if I try to wake up at 6 so I can start my day at 9, sometimes 7. I've been at home, so like sometimes I wake up too late. But
dude, yeah. Being home sucks sometimes. I'm not gonna lie, bro. Like the other day I was like, oh shit, I just need a break from life because you know I live in my office basically. There's like a bed here. So like I wake up and there's work in front of me that I always have to do. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I wanna go out. And I drove to San Diego, and as soon as I entered the house, I was like, I need to leave.
Yeah.
I need to leave so I can be productive. How do you get, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you got work done.
I don't know. I'm like here on my porch trying to separate myself right now.
That's how you do it?
Yeah.
Wait, so you're Asian, obviously. How does your parents, are your parents okay with what you do?
Yes. Oh my gosh. They love it. They're like,
what?
My dad, first of all, is TikTok famous. I mean, like he has 14,000 followers. He had one viral video. And
what?
Yeah. They all just like, oh my gosh. He's like,
your dad has a viral video?
Yeah. I'll send it to you after. The comments are all so like, dumb. Oh, hot dad. It's super funny, but I'll send it to you. And my parents love TikTok. They love like watching the videos, and so they're super supportive. I'm super grateful for that. Even my acting career, everything from the beginning, they've always been a really big supporter of it. So I'm super blessed. I know not everyone has that, so that's one thing I'm
right. There's always like this weird stereotype that Asian parents don't necessarily support their kids.
Yeah.
When it comes to their passions, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, well, my dad didn't care, but for some reason. My mother, she didn't care as long as I wasn't like starving,
yeah.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I think I think we're hitting like this new age right now where that stereotype of Asian parents being so strict and talking in thick accents. Like, hopefully that kind of goes away. Because I was thinking about this. I was talking to my brother about this. I was like, you know how like in every Wong Fu Productions or Asian type of movie, their parents are always like first gen?
Yeah.
Like from, you know, China or Asia, yeah, whatever. Sorry, Asia, China, Asia. And they always have like these thick accents and they're very strict.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder when that will go away.
Go away. I'm so same with you on that. So same with you on that. Even Never Have I Ever, which I think is the most progressive like Asian lead show like ever. Even her mom was like super, she was like first gen and really strict and stuff. And I'm like, I know a lot of Asian people whose parents are not like that. Many.
Yeah.
More than the strict ones. More normal.
Like, I understand the grandparents, but like,
yeah,
you know, like when will that end? Because I haven't seen that. Even in the Farewell with Awkwafina, like I get it and that's wonderful, but still I'm thinking to myself, but dude, like when will that go away? Especially in Wong Fu Productions, because Wong Fu Productions is like millennials, Gen Z, right? And that's us.
Yeah.
And so every time I watch their shit, I'm just like, God damn it. Like no one, I don't know if no one acts like this anymore, but like, when will this go away? Like my mom, yes, she was like not born in the United States, but she came here at like 1 year old and she doesn't even speak the language. Yeah,
totally.
But the only reason why I want that stereotype to go away is because when New Hollywood shows up, I kind of just want to see what it's like, what the joke is going to be without the thick ass accents and the parents. Does that make sense? Because that is always, in a way, like it's cute and it's lovely, but then I feel as if the parents are the butt of the joke most of the time.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I love that you say like I'm waiting to see what the new joke is. Like, it's such an easy joke. It makes me so mad. I'm like, that is the easiest joke you could have made. This is the easiest character you could have created. It's not original. It's not based in truth. I'm pretty sure it's not based in truth on your life. So yeah, just be crazy. I'm glad you brought it up. I'm actually writing a script and I'm like working with Naomi, my manager that Jonathan did the hookup for. and super central to it is the fact that the main character, I mean, it's an Asian American family. The parents are like two children. They don't have accents. They're both Asian American. And the child is like best friends with them, just like in like a Mean Girls type of situation. And not strict at all. I'm like, that is like an essential piece of the story. And all the notes have always been, I love this. I've never seen this before. So I want that to be the new standard. Because when we become parents, and also a lot of my friends.
Yeah, when we fucking become parents in like 10 years.
Yeah.
With my beautiful Jewish girlfriend slash wife. Okay, anyways.
Yeah, totally, right? So I.
If she wants to have kids. And, oh, go on, sorry.
And imagine how progressive that would be if you were to watch an amazing, like an Asian story and the parents are cool. Oh my God, like people would flip out. They would think it's awesome.
Yeah, it would be fucking fantastic. Like I love Crazy Rich Asians and I get it.
Yeah.
But still, we're dealing with the same trope and I am tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm really tired of it. I mean, I could not really relate to Crazy Rich Asians because of class and everything, but like even when I watch Fresh Off the Boat, like when does that trope get so overplayed, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah.
Because us Asian Americans, like especially in America right now, we're dealing with more issues besides having a parent that is so strict on us.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we're dealing with microaggressions from coworkers, microaggressions from people just in America in general. And so by detaching ourselves from those actual issues and bringing it back to the trope of those strict parents, to me in a weird way, we're not progressing as forward as we can go, because Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like even back with Bend It with Beckham. Bend It Like Beckham.
Great movie, by the way.
Yeah, great movie. Love that movie. That's still like the antagonist is their own parents. Why is it always like that? For like, what is that?
Yeah,
it's just like there's no progress. You're right, there's no progression in terms of storytelling. I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad you feel the same way. And it's our job now, because we are Hollywood. Like, we're like in LA, we're like, we literally are the next Asian American storytellers, us and our peer group. So it's up to us to change that representation.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah. I auditioned for a commercial for the first time in a long time, because finally like things are picking up.
Yeah.
Dude, I haven't auditioned in a long time. I booked a commercial in December, mm-hmm. and that was the last time I auditioned. So that's been 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so off. And now that everything is like self-tapes, I have to figure out how to do it correctly, because they're like, you know, like, I don't know the background, and I'm really excited for it. But yeah, I'm so, that's what I fucking want.
Mm.
That's what I want. Like right now I'm writing I filmed the first two parts because I'm trying something, because I want to be like you, Alan.
Oh my gosh, you're better than me. You're like a person with intellect, like amazing, but go on.
No, I do inspire. Dude, I'm tired of being always in the background. The reason why I love you and Mia so much, as I told Mia is that you are there's two types of people in this world, givers and takers. And also people that are kind of the unpopular, popular people, the ones that people kind of like rely on to push them forward. Mm. And you and Mia are people that love to give, and you're always pushing others forward, right? I mean, look at Mia. Like, she is in reach, and she's always helping other creators, et cetera, before she began to go on TikTok, and she still does it today. You, with all your other endeavors, I mean, like with Markion and Smile Squad, like when I first met you, remember this? When we first met, when I did that speech at Reach at USC,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what propelled me, but through all the interactions of everything, I DM'd you and I said, you're a star. And so, remember that?
Yeah.
And so, when I look at you and when I think of you, I think of the unpopular, popular person who people rely on so much. But yet, now here you are saying, you know what? I am talented enough. I am good enough. It's time for me to shine. Mm-hmm. And so, the reason why I say you inspire and you motivate me is because you're not using your like giving abilities. You're still not losing that, but you're not using that as an excuse anymore to say it's time for me now.
Okay.
And so like you and Mia have really pushed me to start. So that's why I began, you know, this podcast that's number one, and I love it's growing, thank God. And then I started the script that I told you about, Finding Jared. I filmed two of them, and we still have two more to go. And it's kind of weird. I just finished one of, and I can't wait to start posting once I finish episode 3 and 4, which I'm filming this week. But I just want to say, like, dude, without you, and without people like Mia, basically without people like you and Mia, like, I don't think I would be pursuing what I want to pursue now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's like, okay, Jonathan, like, especially when I booked that commercial in December, I was like, okay, this is something that, you know, I can do.
Did. All you. No one else. Like, it's all you.
Can I just say thank you, and all you have to say is you're welcome?
Oh, thank you. Well, you're welcome, and I appreciate
you. That's it. That's all I want. That's all I want. Wait, so what is, like, where do you see yourself in, like, 3? Oh, by the way, can I audition for your fucking Asian American? Can I be like
an yes extra in your... Oh my gosh, of course we're gonna make it. I'm saying this now, like, in some way or form we're gonna create it. Like, it's gonna happen. I'm putting it out there,
and I'm gonna fucking take more Leslie Kahn and I need to get new headshots, actually. Fuck, dude, I can't believe I messed up. They're like, we're looking for an Asian dancer that's very colorful. So I like wear like my goddamn green and everything. And then my agent came back. She's like, that's not how you self-tape. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you need like a solid background in the back. If you're doing a close-up, you know, you don't like, you know, dive in. Like, I did like a sliding dive. It was not good. Anyway, but what are you... It's a learning experience. That's what I love. Small iterations of change. What, like, where do you see kind of this... like, Alan, do you want to stick with TikTok, or like, where are you kind of like transitioning to? Like, what is the plan for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Instead of thinking like a 5-year plan.
Yeah, for sure. For the rest of the year, I think my first priority is always TikTok, because it's the platform where I'm growing the most, I'm making money, and I love it personally, but I'm also trying to expand into YouTube, Instagram. I'm still trying to find my footing with that, testing out different styles of videos to see what does well, what I like to film, and things like that. So I am trying to expand into those, like, other platforms, to be a multi-platform star, you know? And also a big priority is the script that I'm writing. I finished the outline, the first act and the treatment. We're trying to put it together so we can pitch it out to different studios, digital companies, things like that, just to get, you know, some feedback and buzz around it. But that's also a big priority for me. Thanks.
Keep on going, sorry.
So, like, in terms of career, those are definitely the things. I think the goal for me, we've talked about this, one of my biggest inspirations is Anna Akana and Lily Singh, like, people who have started, first of all, like, started very disenfranchised, like, just, like, not someone who, like, generally would have just auditioned into the path that they have right now. They just created the shit out of their life, you know? Oh my gosh, I love them both. And so they both, you know, started digital and they made their way over to dominating platforms in the traditional industry, film and TV. Anna has created and pitched like 4 different shows and, you know, had them on air, and she's pitching to like HBO Max. Oh, I was watching her whiteboard. When I went to film the YouTube video with her, she has this whiteboard of all these different projects she's working on. It says HBO Max, Warner Brothers, like CW. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so cool. Oh my gosh. And Lily Singh's show got picked up for a second season. Like, I love people. So that is the career pathway that I'm trying to take. It's the main thing for me is like not to get distracted. As a creator, I think there's so many different pathways that you can take. Like the more entrepreneurial business side where you like create a brand around some mission statement and you create a company, you know.
Smile Squad.
Yeah, Smile Squad, which is great. It's just not what I'm trying to do with my like my creator journey. Or you could do different things like just, I don't know, just be an, like, I don't know. You could do many different things. So I'm trying to like keep focused on what the right things are to do and clarify that.
God, I'm so proud of you.
Ah, thanks.
I love our conversation today because I feel like you're just so clear-minded, you know, right now, which is kind of strange because the last time we had those 2 conversations, it was like you were still trying to figure out and it was like in different spectrums of the world. And right now, maybe it's your different hair color, who knows?
I'm sitting outside.
You're so focused.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So where can people find the great Alan Chicken Chow? By the way, everyone, I don't know if you know this, but chow means meal, right?
Chow means fried in Chinese, like chow mein, fried noodle. Yeah. Chicken is my middle name. And in Chinese, you say chow chicken. Like you say family name first. So my name is Fried Chicken.
So cool. Where can people find you, Alan Chicken Chow?
Yes, my username is at Alan Chicken Chow on all platforms. First and foremost, follow me on TikTok at Alan Chicken Chow. Also YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. And the chicken is spelled C-H-I-K-I-N.
I love you, dude. And everyone, go follow him. And of course, you can always check out the highlights at Spill the Fuh. And Duke of Jonathan is my Instagram. And then just wave. Bye.